conferences. Speaker here tonight, Dave Scarpino, and he's an associate with the Health Alliance campus with Kingston Benedictine Hospital. They're here to discuss some health issues. Nettie emailed out the minutes from last month. Did you get a chance to take a look at that?
Yep.
All right. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Second.
All right. Great. Let's move on to
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Just for the record, the person that's with him is John Finch.
So thank you for having me. I'm assuming if you want, I can do a couple of things. Can you tell me how long you want me to talk? I can talk about the progress we're making with Westchester and what's going on in the world. But I can certainly talk about Blue Cross and the situation. I'm assuming that's the primary reason.
Maybe give like a nuts and bolts clip note version of what's going on because we are being recorded.
So let me do the Blue Cross first, because that's probably the piece that's most in the eye of the community. And this is a legal issue rather than a negotiating issue. And I think folks get confused by that. Before we came together with Westchester Medical Center, which was the 30th of March, we were prohibited by law from discussing any managed care negotiation or contract. We can't talk about this. But we knew that March 31st was a critical time date to hit. And the reason it turned out that that date was so critical was that Blue Cross and Westchester Medical Center had independently come to an arrangement contractually that said that any affiliate that came into the system by March 31st of 2016 would automatically get rates that were pre-negotiated by Blue Cross and Westchester. Not the Westchester rates, but another set of pre-negotiated rates. So from Westchester's, and we have to get this deal done by March 31st. And that was the reason. We didn't know that until after the fact. So we were thrilled to death that we were getting a higher level of reimbursement. And then after April, Blue Cross said, no, we're not going to honor that provision in the contract. So this becomes a contractual issue. And there is a lawsuit that Westchester has filed, because we're out of this total. This is a contract between Westchester Medical Center and Blue Cross. Westchester filed a lawsuit that they said we lost. So when people go, Health Alliance and Blue Cross should sit down and negotiate, no, there's nothing to negotiate.
And the original contract said Westchester Medical and affiliate.
Correct.
And it was signed to, not just oral, right?
Now, why is this important to us? So the other thing we hear often is, why do you have to demand such high rates? So the rates that are talked to in that contract are about twice as high as the inpatient.
Wow.
But here's what's critically important. What we're getting paid today is not at market.
Right.
We're paid half as much as some of the competitive hospitals in the area.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, we've talked about this before. We're also paid 30% less for Medicare than any health quest that is known as Stature, St. Francis Hospital, St. Luke's Hospital. So our inability to negotiate higher levels because it's either a federal issue or it's a negotiation issue, and we didn't have leverage to negotiate Blue Cross the way others should. What does that mean to us? It means that we can't pay our employees on market.
Right.
I can't pay the RNs what they can get by simply crossing the bridge. And to give you an example, because this is the clearest example, in the last 6 weeks we lost two ICU nurses. And they went across the bridge for $20 an hour more. $20 an hour more.
What was the position?
ICU nurse.
Wow.
So it's our highest level of nurse intensive care. our regular nurses, our staff nurses out in ICU, they get $12 an hour more. And when a nurse is only making in the $75,000 to $80,000 range,
wow.
Now, so we're losing very talented, very dedicated staff. We have a lot of turnover in our nursing positions because we're not competitive from a salary point of view. Now, that's the nursing example, but it permeates throughout the hospital. Mm-hmm. Every single position in the hospital is way below market. You can go to a fast food restaurant and make more money than our nursing assistants make. And by the state mandating a $15 an hour minimum wage, the impact on that is $6 million to us because we pay people so little. So for us to get back to market, which is what this Blue Cross agreement drove, it's really important to us because we get to pay our people and we get to keep them in the community. And that's what's important to us. Because at a new hospital, you need great staff. You need competent staff. So that's, in kind of a nutshell, that's what we're fighting for.
So your Health Alliance, well, Westchester Medical is handling this. You're personally out of it. You're out of the negotiations that's being driven by Westchester Medical.
That's right.
So I had talked to your CFO, a woman.
Pat Davis.
Yeah, Pat Davis. I sent the committee an email, I find, and she said that although they're offering more, it's far less than what the contract with Westchester Medical is. Because I asked her, like, if I went to the hospital before the 31st, and then I went back again after the 31st with the new contract that they're offering, is it more money? And she said, yeah, but she said the same thing that you're saying is you're having a hard time retaining staff, you're having a hard time keeping up with technology, medical technology, and paying the bills. And staff is a big issue because you need quality staff, and nurses, RNs, they're the top of the nursing field.
They are.
$20 more an hour.
And what that does to us is that a lot of surrounding hospitals don't want new graduate nurses because there's too much training involved.
Mm-hmm.
But we will take them because of our situation. So we spend the first year of a graduate nurse's life training them, getting them oriented, you know, making sure they're competent, and after a year, they move on. So not only are we not paying them, we're incurring a tremendous education component, and it's who we are and what we do, but that is our lot in life. That's why this is so important to us, and it isn't just a question of sitting down. Now, it is a lot more than we're being reimbursed now. It is not what Westchester is getting paid. It is a different rate, as you point out. But we need to get this done across the board from all payers, and especially for Medicare, which is a totally different issue and probably more frustrating for us.
Sure. Well, I'll tie to the statement. I had called today and asked Nettie if she could get the figures from personnel on the two policies through Blue Cross Blue Shield, the POS and the PCO. And I work also kind of both using a similar policy, although I think ours is a little better. But so if you're in a PPO, you would be out of network for the Blue Cross Blue Shield carriers. And what concerns me is that, you know, you've got per family anywhere from $3,800 to $9,700 of in-network cost shares, so that's like a deductible. It's BOCES policy. It's less of the deductibles, but you have to pay, the plan only pays 70% of the expenses. And the carrier, the insurer has to pay 30%. So either the PPO or the POS, you know, we're losing out. We're losing out on both ends because the POS, they're going to have to go across the river. And the PPOs, if they do use your services, they're going to spend more out of pocket.
So let's just separate those because what you're saying is absolutely correct. But there are qualifiers as our own anything. If you present to the emergency department, you're covered as if you're a network. If you need to be admitted to the Broadway campus, and there's an important distinction, I'll get to that in a second, you need to be admitted to the Broadway campus, you're covered.
Through the emergency.
Through the emergency. However, if you need it to be transferred to Mary's Avenue campus, because it is a unique hospital, it's a separate, unique hospital, that then would be out of network. We would have to then talk to you about being transferred to an in-network hospital. So you could go to Mid-Hudson Regional in Poughkeepsie on a major cover.
I mean, things like magnetic imaging, the CAT scan.
As long as you're an inpatient, you're okay, or through the ED, you're okay.
Right.
If you came in for an elective test, then that would create problems because you'd have to go elsewhere. If you're pregnant in your second or third trimester and you need to deliver, you're covered. And if you've been pre-approved for surgeries by Blue Cross and they're scheduled before June 1st, then those procedures are taking place after June 1st, you're also covered. So it's really the elective component. Most of our business that comes from Blue Cross comes through the emergency department.
Oh, okay.
There is a very small, probably about 75% of what we see comes through the ED. So most folks will see no discernible change in the access to care. But there will be a transfer from private, and it's something that we can do.
And that's for both plans, I think of things.
Yeah.
Get a visit to the emergency room. That's covered, has to be covered. That's by law.
Correct. Now, if you have Blue Cross as a secondary to Medicare, you're still covered. So it isn't an all or nothing. It really depends on. So if you were getting an elective knee replacement, that's an issue.
What's the process, though? So say you present at the emergency room, you're treated, and then you're going down to stay for observations, depending on the injury. Does that stay continue there, or will that person then be stabilized and transferred to an in-network for follow-up care?
That you would stay there to receive your care.
Okay.
Unless it's a level of care that we just don't provide, certainly.
But it was still, the follow-up care, as long as you're staying from that initial emergency visit, would still be covered.
Correct.
Yes. And then my second question is, so for you, I mean, this is kind of in, for us, when we go back to our caucuses, we kind of explain this, there's been emails going around, just people have been getting contacted by constituents. I received the letter in the mail at Empire. What is, you know, I guess it's hard to tell for you guys because you're all kind of sitting on the side of the timeline. Do you have an idea of the timeline, or is this really something that's up in the air?
It's up in the air because, well, it's even hard to see for me to say this, but it's illegal. Since it's a lawsuit, you never know how that process will play out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if both parties want it to go to, you know, adjudication of some sort, then it could stretch out. If they want to settle, then it would sit down to settle. So you can pivot either way. It's not just a straight negotiation, so it's really hard to predict.
So in regards to the specificity of this lawsuit, this is like in a federal district court in New York? Southern District in New York?
I think it's a state level.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know what question. I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it should be like state Supreme Court level, probably.
Could be, yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, Westchester filed that's on my policy.
And then that is filed, that was filed in Westchester County? And any inkling as to what the timetable is for that?
No.
The only thing we do know is that the people of Westchester do understand how critical this is for this area.
Yeah.
They're not blind to the fact that it's having a serious impact on.
I mean, it might have a serious impact on your bottom line, too.
Sure.
Because you're going to have subscribers that are not even going to go.
We don't want it either.
We're the last thing
we want. We don't want to drag on either.
We have so much positive things that will result as as part of this affiliation. This is not the part we want. This is part of fun. And we thought, you know, the ironic part of it is that Blue Cross actually represented to some of our folks that, you know, after April 1st, you guys are going to be getting better rates. And actually went to the county because the county is self-insured. Using Blue Cross as a conduit, saying to the county, you're going to have some cost increases because of the new rates.
Okay.
So Blue Cross is already representing it out in the community, because we did get feedback from that.
So it would be speculative to ponder as to what exactly happened, but so it sounds like there could have been some some type of executive decision made that they had made a mistake entering into that deal, that it wasn't fiscally responsible for the bottom line, or
that's a great speculation.
I don't know the answer either.
But when you sign a deal, you sign a deal. I'm not sure how you go, well, we don't like the deal we signed.
Yes, sure.
How is the Benedictine facility separate from the insurance?
It's a unique hospital. It has like a social security
number. Is that your Westchester?
No, yeah, but it has its own tax ID number. It is a separate provider than the Broadway campus. So technically, when you leave the ED of a Broadway campus, you're going from one hospital
mm-hmm.
to a different hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Under one parent.
And by the way,
they're negotiating their own
rent? No, that's from a corporate point of view. In other words, we would be transferring patients from the Broadway campus
mm-hmm.
to a non-participating hospital.
Right. It doesn't matter that it's just a...
Brother sister of ours is irrelevant. It's a different
hospital. That will go away when we consolidate to one campus.
We didn't want it to be this way.
It actually has other implications for our services.
Yeah.
That it's illegal for us to transfer a patient from one campus to the other, a different provider, without someone billing a payer, either a patient directly or Medicare, Medicaid. We don't want that because patients don't want that. We tried actually to not bill for that. We actually don't bill. We certainly ambulance companies, and it's illegal not to.
So we're just giving a kind of overview of the Blue Cross, and I think the important piece of all of this is not an negotiation that we're unable to come to terms with. This is a contractual issue.
Okay.
Blue Cross and Westchester Medical Center signed an agreement that will afford us the same negotiated rate that they both agreed to, and the Blue Cross.
Do you have a timeline on that?
Don't, because there's a lawsuit that's been filed between Westchester.
So how long could people potentially be without? How long could it potentially go without finalizing?
It's a non-determined period of time. Here's what I believe, quite honestly, that none of the parties want this to be prolonged. The question is, how do we get to the right place so it does get resolved?
What could be done is a judge could force an injunction to keep the coverage until this lawsuit is finished. I mean, that would be a fair thing to do just for the subscribers or in the hospital, because you're in a lawsuit right now, and then so now certain things aren't covered, and you're losing. You're not even. You're losing patients, you're losing revenue, you're losing reimbursements.
There are a couple schools of thought on that, and certainly a judge probably could do that. Sometimes negotiations accelerate when parties feel pain.
Right.
That's a great accelerant.
Cost of litigation.
You're like, okay. You know, when you back off and go, I got another 3 months to do this, the sense of urgency is lost. You can go either way. But again, we're not a party to that negotiation. That negotiation takes place between Westchester and Blue Cross directly. So we're sitting in work with quite us today on the
sideline. So I also just confirm that this in my efforts to get back to some folks was not at all caused by anything to do with the New York State Health Exchange.
No.
At all.
You're right. There are a few people, one in particular, that seems to be fixed on that, and that's not the case.
Okay. There is a product, and this may be an adjunct conversation that people could be mixing up. There's one product that we do not have an agreement between us and the managed care company, and that's the Delos. The Delos has a product called the Delos Essential, and we did not sign up for that because to us, it's a commercial product through the exchange, and Excel is only one that wants to pay Medicaid rates. Commercial today.
That's separate from this.
Yes, separate from that. But sometimes people tend to go, well, you're not participating in all exchange products, which is true. But that was a conscious decision. That was an hourly target.
So, any other idea if they're using
in-house lawyers, both sides? Are they bringing in outside legal counsel?
I know on the Westchester side, both state and house attorney and the attorney. I don't know.
So potentially the cost of litigation, you know, it's running up on the meter the longer this goes on and when it does go to trial, but the process of research for discovery and things of that nature might force their hand to, you know, cave in. One would hope.
You want to hope that people go, you know what, this isn't good for the overall relationship, not just at the, you know, Ulster County Kingston level, but, you know, throughout the system. Because Westchester covers 8 different counties. So you want to hope that cooler heads prevail and we can get this.
Has this happened in the past? Have you ever had difficulty?
I came out of Westchester County, and this was rather routine between managed care companies and providers. Not so much up here. Everything new to us up here. Westchester County, it was...
How long, based on this happening in the past, has it taken to resolve?
Generally, it's quick.
Okay.
But that's not a predictor. This is a long. This is slightly different than just negotiation.
Okay.
John makes a great point that Westchester understands the impact. This is not good for the community and having people have access to health care. We don't want this to stop while we're in business. It's painful, but we have to get through it because ultimately we've got to be able to pay our staff salaries.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the bottom line.
Mr. Chairman, it's not the purpose of government to meddle in, you know, private business, but there's so many public people involved in this. I'd like to suggest maybe the committee drafting a letter to send to Blue Cross Blue Shields, imploring them to come to an agreement or, you know, something. I mean, I don't know even how that would be worded, but because if we did just to sit on the sidelines and watch, we're not... being proactive. I wouldn't go as far as a memorializing resolution, but a letter to the financial officers.
We get that you have constituents to be concerned about, and that's
right.
What you need. Yeah.
I mean, we have to figure
something. We don't want people
to have in the county.
Right.
And then
schools. Yeah, I've gotten a number of emails from people. I think there's a little bit of confusion, and Jonathan has alluded to that as far as the Affordable Care Act not really having an impact on this. But what some of the emails that I had received, I think that they were kind of lumping the two things together as far as the exchanges not offering what they thought it was going to and them not being able to use their doctors and have to go out of network. And so that, in no way, is related to the contract.
In one case, I'm not sure if it's the same people or person, but a person was kind of resentful about it. And we did get them in touch with our patient accounting department to kind of explain about the exchange and which programs we've always had, which ones we haven't had, the fact that we still have them. I don't know whether that helps.
Yeah. And what we're also telling people that we're going to err on the side of taking care of the patient. And that may cause us once in a while to make a mistake. If that happens, we'll leave that cost. This is not a gotcha game with patients coming into the hospital. So if there's a situation where down the road when we present a bill and the patient gets a bill from Blue Cross challenging what we've done, we'll take care of that. We're there for the patient. So we're going to err on the side. We actually believe this is hard to imagine, but Monday morning, the first day at 8 o'clock, I get a call in my office saying there's a patient presenting for a cardiac catheterization, very serious diagnostic procedure, in a Blue Cross, and no one knew they were coming. What do we do? The answer is take care of it. We'll figure it out about that.
You know, it's funny that we have a community family advocate for opiate abuse and mental health issues in relation to prescription drugs and drug. But we don't have a county-wide ombudsman for health care, and it might be something we could pressed for, because I've had calls in the past for people who had issues with insurance companies. Last year, a woman was, it was a mental health issue, and she was seeing, she was approved by her insurance company to see a therapist, and then the therapist never got the money, and then they said, no, she's not approved for that, and blah, blah. I sent the letter on my letterhead, and she called me 6 months later and said they resolved it for her. I don't know if it was me, but there's got to be someone out there higher than just the person who's defenseless. They pay their rates every month, and then all of a sudden things like that happen. And that might, I mean, if this is prolonged lawsuits, I think we might see more and more of that.
Yeah, and the behavioral health component will be the most impacted, because behavioral health services are provided at the Marriott. When you come into the ED and you need to be transferred from those inpatient services, we're going to have to transfer you in the house condition. That's where you're going to check with from. And it's a shame that this is overshadowing everything else we're doing, because then again, I know I talked about it a lot of time, but in a nutshell, you were talking about expanding your campus on Merritt Avenue site. You are going to build a consolidated hospital. It's even bigger than we originally envisioned. The goal would be to have private rooms, so we are competitive with other surrounding health systems. We're going to be doing the Broadway campus will be a medical village, where we'll unite primary care services and outpatient behavioral programs, because we know that that's what the community needs. There's a profound need and a shortage of providers. With Westchester, we'll be able to recruit psychiatrists that are extraordinarily scarce. Huge deficit in psychiatry. And that's something that we can recruit collaboratively and be able to enhance those services, because God knows we need it.
Yeah. And you have a partial day
program? Yeah, partial programs, an adult and an adolescent. Those will be expanded over time, and they'll be brought over to the
I almost fear that the mental health part of this is going to be worse than the actual health care, because a lot of, I'm not sure about Empire, but I had a patient, and they contract out,
What you're going to see in terms of delivery over the next few years is really a pivoting from inpatient treatment of behavioral health services into more of a concentration into outpatient. We push financial companies from across the board, and that's something that we think we can do really well by having the medical village and really doing a robust outpatient component. The unfortunate part of that is, and I hear this a lot, and I wonder if you do, from parents who lose then control of their children, who are now 18, 19, 23, 25, and make their own decisions. Because when you have them in an inpatient setting, you have more control over their here and to. When they're an outpatient, it's really up to them whether they want to go. And we get a lot of calls saying, if you only kept my son or daughter in the hospital longer, they would have been safer. Probably true, but because of the law and because of the change in treatment patterns, it's out of our hands. And sometimes it's a hard conversation to have.
That's another issue too, because you don't get any updates on the care and the medical records because of the HIPAA law. The child would have to sign over his right to let the parents look at the report. And that's another thing that boggles my mind.
That's a whole, and I've had many of these conversations with parents who said, why won't you text talking? And that's a hell of a conversation.
And in some cases, they're grieving the death of a child.
It's hard. Yeah. Hard. But you knew that. That's a different conversation.
Well, that one, taking no action on COVID. 2 months, but I think that's 294. He was appointing a member to the Trails Committee.
I think it's just the same.
This is,
let me know about Mr. Dwayne.
Yeah,
right.
He's replacing.
Just not me, so let's go.
So that there's
at that time it was just the one house bill. When I originally turned this into Victoria, we did some research just already at the assembly, and it's working its way through the state senate. It looks like it's going to pass before they convene and finish up in a year.
How long are you looking?
Okay. Less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what session day was? It's only, I think, like six or more actual session days.
Yeah.
Must be over.
You would think that they would have done something like this, you know, past. How long has it been? Like, when did this first run it? Yeah.
No. I know some of the end of
March
districts have their own policy.
Yeah. Okay. March was there. And the bill was written up.
No, I was just reading the premium campaign. I don't know if you recently asked what those. Did they take a sign stand for it?
Not possible. In the bank room?
The small?
Well, my phone
is still. They're
definitely in the kitchen.
I
come on, man.
Fixed. All right,
it was late, man. All right. Not late, no.
Yeah, City Kingston tested their water supply.
I know, it was all,
yeah, it was normal.
But there's still, once, you know, it's turned into law and policy, and we'll, you know, it'll mandate more frequent testing. Santa Barbara talked about it would, you know, obviously it states it would provide for cost of remediation and repairs when, you know, generally from old pipes that have lead in them and lead mm-hmm. from the soldering. And that type of thing, but also it would help to pay for bottled drinking water to be brought in mm-hmm. In the interim while they're making these repairs. So
right.
Sounds like a no-brainer.
Be part of the all. Pay Pfizer, they're not going to push them off on our county either.
No.
The thing about this building or a lot of the county buildings is that you have this automatic water system. You put your hand under the sensor. It comes out for 3 or 4 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and then it stops, and you got to keep doing it.
Right. Yeah.
The water's staying in the pipes longer.
Sure.
It's not getting like a flush.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That is, besides that, it's annoying because you can't finish doing
right.
the thing. You got to put your hands in 2 or 3
yeah.
months.
You know, I think that
thing so good. Like, who knows how
that, right, that's yeah. why Kevin just doesn't wash his hands.
I do.
What about the people that work in those places?
The whole thing about that, too, seriously, though, is that you know, the environmentalists, you know, came up with the concept of, like, low-flow showers, you know, mm-hmm. several decades ago or
yeah.
longer.
But then you're taking,
you take a shower 3 times longer, yeah. and you're probably using more yeah. water. Yeah. And then for issues like this, you know, it's all known, and Nettie had brought it up, too. My mother, you know, people in the healthcare field and doctors had said, you know, run your tap water on cold and run it for a minute or two, and it helps get the carcinogens out. You know, they were telling people this back in the 70s.
Sure.
And so, you know, then when they introduced low-flow mechanisms of showers and sinks and toilets,
yeah.
you know, you're for with sewage system and toilets, it's not sanitary because you're not getting enough water flow
yeah.
to flush everything down. So it's one of these things where they're overthinking it, and it's actually using more water, and it's creating health issues where you're not getting a long enough flow of water for, you know, contaminants to be watered down through the flow,
sure.
and it's unsanitary for sewage type issues.
So. There's no blood anymore, right?
But when this building was built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I say, yeah, but finding lead in water supply is an uncommon. My dad was with Commissioner DCW in Port Jervis for 23 years, and all the way back when he started, 85 high lead levels on the pipe. Their pipes were made out of lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I going right into people's houses, and they'd have to encapsulate them, and they'd
mm-hmm.
run a bunch of chemicals and stuff to make sure that it got cleared up, but still, it was that happened all the time.
And then pushing Port Jervis.
It is going through water tests all the way up until it gets, because like the water source in Kingston's in my district, Cooper Lake,
mm-hmm.
A little bit, I mean, they'll even let you can't even bring a washed down boat on the Cooper Lake. I mean, they keep it as protected as possible.
Yeah.
But it's going through all these levels of testing, mm-hmm. you know, through the system. But then once it gets into the structures, many of these structures in this area, like this one built in the early 60s.
In Port Jervis, they had pipes that were 130.
Yeah, hey, Port Jervis.
In Newburgh, I heard they still have wooden pipes that
It's a pandemic problem for another state because, you know, most of the state is pretty much over construction. And, you know, except, I mean, there's actually been some growth in Ulster County, particularly in certain parts of Sawgrees, but I know the village of Sawgrees, there hasn't been as much growth in a lot. And it's a major problem in Sawgrees with, you know, Resident Shore came up with when I was first campaigning. There was a constituent that had concerns that she had thought there was lead in her drinking water, and I was able to get facilitate a test through the village water department, and it turned out she didn't. But it is something that's an issue, and, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people in this economy that don't have a lot of money, lower socioeconomic status, they don't have the money to pay for these repairs themselves, and there's no New York State deeds to facilitate repairs. That's why I was doing research. And so this will help lessen the chance of you know, students.
Well, at least in schools, because it's good. The kids are the ones that are most susceptible to the higher lead levels anyway, so.
Exactly.
All of them?
Four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carried. All right, that's it. Any old business, new business, anything? Anyone?
I piped in about during negotiations with Blue Cross Blue Shield and Resident Medical Minute. If you'd like, I can call Dr. Carol Smith and ask her opinion on verbiage.
Yeah.
We want to try to
let her.
And because she should be involved, she's the director of health.
It probably should go to both Westchester Medical and Blue Cross.
Right.
Because,
absolutely
right. Contrary to Mr. Spino's, what he said, I think that the big shots down in Westchester could care less about us.
Of course. That's a completely. But they do have a financial stake in them because they bought.
They do. I don't know.
They get more than one more.
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, I'm still sorry.
All right. All in favor?
The first one,
were we at Elm Hospital?
Last one, yes.
Last one, okay.